It is a privilege to be in church. It is a privilege to be a pastor. I spent some time this morning just thanking God for letting me be a pastor. He lets me. Did you hear what I said? He lets me. I've been spending a few weeks sitting at a stupid table somewhere, a desk somewhere, talking to a phone. And boy, there ain't you start to evaluate every word coming out of your mouth when you get no feedback, when people aren't shaking their head yes or giving you dirty looks or whatever, you know? I mean, all that stuff helps, knowing where you're at. When you're staring at a phone, you start thinking about the words coming out of your mouth a lot. And it messes with your head just a little bit. And that's been good for me. And I realize I'm an idiot. Yeah. Amen. I was waiting for somebody to get the point. I realize I'm an idiot, but I got a merciful God. And He lets me be here. And I'm thankful for it. He lets me preach. And what a holy thing, what a scary thing to get in a pulpit and open up the Word of God and say, under the authority of God Almighty, I'm a God-called preacher, and here's the Bible. Now, here's where we should stand, and here's what we should do, and here's what this is all about, and here's how you should react. And boy, nothing been burning me more than watching jacklegs get in the pulpit or get on their little devices or however they're doing it under the, quote, authority of God, under, quote, the Bible, and twisting everything into their political agenda and making it all about them. That aggravates me. So this morning, I'm going to do my best to make it about Him. And I want to give you something from the Bible this morning. If God will allow me and if God will help me, I want to give you something from this book that'll help you in this crazy, nutty, insane day that you and I live in. I want to help you. I mean it with all my heart. I want to help you. Somebody said something to me, and please don't take it personal if you're here. I don't even remember who. But somebody said this to me about this whole thing on the phone. They said, Pastor, you've prepared us for a time just like this. And I don't remember the face, but it was a message from God. And I remember the message. And that meant something to me. That meant a lot to me. That right there recharged me in a way I nothing could have. To be able to sit back and say we've preached the Bible as faithfully as I know how for 12 years to God's people to try to help them, not to mold them into Mike's image or Mike's standard, but to give them God's word. And they said, we'll be all right. The church is going to be all right. You've prepared us for this. We got the Bible in us. That was a blessing. So God let me and God given us 12 more years. I'm going to try to get better at it. And that means I'm going to get out of His way and I'm going to pray up and I'm going to be a little more faithful to study up and make sure that I'm giving you what God says, rightly divided and practically applied. Psalm chapter 46, please. I want to talk to you this morning on Satan's subtle attack. God is our refuge and strength, verse 1. A very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Look at that. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he thundered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning and I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for your people. I thank you for a place to meet. I thank you, Lord, for paying the bills. I know, Lord, people have given voluntarily without pressure. They've given, but we know where it comes from, Lord. It comes from you. And I thank you, Lord, for taking care of this church and being so good to us and so real to us. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. And I pray now you'd make me your messenger. your man, that you'd fill me, and Lord, that there would be a message here for the people of God that would be a blessing and a help to them in a big way. And more importantly than that, God, I pray that you would be smiling down on me, Lord. I know that feeling, God. I don't want that drive home today and the thoughts in my head at night and throughout the week of feeling like I'm maybe not sure whether or not I should have said that, and not sure whether or not you're pleased with me. God, I despise that feeling. But I know the feeling of going home and knowing that I've made you happy and that everything's all right between me and you, and so I ask for that. And I want you to use me, Lord. And I pray you'd make me a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you'll notice here in verse number 1, he says this, God is our refuge. Now, a refuge is a place you go to when you need a safe place to go, right? And that's pretty obvious. This thing, when I got thinking about it, that kind of like fits in with a baby, like a young child, a young Christian. What happens with that baby? The first thing you do with that baby is you wrap that thing up, right? The doctors wash the baby off and they wrap it, they swaddle it real nice and tight. I'll never forget the first time learning how to twist those blankets and tuck them in and tuck that in from the top. And remember that? Ain't that a great ancient memory? Wrapping that baby up. And then what you do with that baby is you pick that baby up and you hold that baby tight, and that baby feels the strength of that parent's arms. And you kind of rock them. And what do? You comfort them, right? You make them feel safe. You know what I appreciate about God? He's a safe place to go. You and I need a refuge every once in a while. Don't kid me. Especially when you're first saved. You got to understand that you were out alone in a wicked and a sinful world. And you were headed toward a death that was a lonely death. And you, beyond that, you were going to step off into an eternity that was an eternity without God. That's a frightening and a scary and a lonely and a painful and a tormenting eternity. But now you've got a refuge if you're born again. One of the greatest things a new Christian can learn to do is just slow down and walk with God. You don't need to worry right now about standing up for the faith. Why would you say that? Because I'm a pastor, not a high-pressure salesman trying to build my ministry. One of the most important things you can do when you first get saved is just learn to enjoy the refuge you get in Jesus Christ. Just learn that you're now safe and learn who God is. Notice the second thing, God is our refuge. There's a place to run when you need safety. And what? Strength. You know what the glory of a young man is? Strength. I think about David when he's running before he's strong. He was a young man. He had killed Goliath. Great things had happened. But now God needed to teach David a little bit of something God had never taught David before. God needed to teach David that there's more to this thing, and that times are going to get dangerous and things are going to be scary. And that spirit of Antichrist, that Saul, he had the spirit of, he's a type in the Old Testament of the Antichrist. And that spirit of Antichrist was going to be in charge in the world he lived in. You talk about politics. David was anointed already to be king. Did you hear me? God had said through God's man, David, you're my pick, you're the king. And so then what happens? Instead of him getting the throne, he has to run for his life and hide in caves from the spirit of Antichrist. This COVID thing ain't that. Even though some of the childish brethren are trying to turn it into that, tune them out and don't listen to them. They're leading you down a wrong path, and they're not going to help you get through it in a strong way. You won't learn anything from this. If you get distracted by the subtlety of the devil and turn it into something it's not, you'll miss God's point. David first had to learn how to shut up and get quiet and get alone with God. Didn't Elijah have to learn that lesson? Didn't Moses have to learn that lesson? Didn't Joseph have to learn that lesson? Didn't Jacob have to learn that lesson? That's how God works with his people. They have to learn that there's a place to go where you can just rely on God as a refuge and be quiet and wait and let God work. Because there's nothing you can do about it anyhow. And I hate that. Because I'm a control freak. Why do you say things like that, preacher? It's like this. If you ever get mad at me, I want to give you the ammo that I know you're going to shoot me with. Because I see it coming. Amen. You know you're a control freak. Yep, so does everybody else. But there are times God says, hey, I'll tell you what, son. Something, son. I'm going to do something for you. Boom. You have no control. Now what are you going to do? Throw a fit? Or are you going to just chill out and let me take care of it? Get to the cave. Get to the refuge and wait. But it doesn't stay there. God is our refuge in what? Strength. You know what happens there with David? A time comes when God makes him strong. God gives him some power. God gives him that throne. God gives him the entire nation. He can now make the rules, and he does a phenomenal job to follow God and walk with God in his strength. He knew one thing, God is my strength. You know what we got, I believe? I believe we got a strong church. You know why? Because God's with us. I don't think I learned this. I had to think about this. I had to settle this in my mind and heart over the last few weeks. I don't think this church has survived, is going to survive, has ever made it through anything because we're so strong or because I'm so strong. I've already hit my quitting points. I just didn't tell you. You know what I've found? I've found my strength. My strength is not in Mike Reagan. My strength is not in my will, although I got one and it's probably twice as stubborn as anybody else's in this room. I got a strong will, but my strength is not in my will. I've already hit my limits, and I'm not even an old man yet. My strength is in God. Without him, I won't make it. Neither will you, and neither will your marriage, and neither will this church, and neither will your children, and neither will your psyche, and neither will your emotions. You won't make it without God. He's the strength. God's our refuge and strength, but that's not all. Look at the next thing. A very what? Present help in trouble. You know what that made me think of? That made me think of old David. Man, it's going to be hard to stay up here, but I'm going to do it because I got to keep my distance so I don't kill you guys. You're welcome. Made me think of David when he got old. That man had lived his whole life. He had learned where to go for his refuge. He knew how to get along with God. He knew how to get to God. Don't tell me when he got strong, he forgot how to get to God or he wouldn't have stayed strong. He stayed strong because he didn't forget the first lesson, which is God is my refuge. He learned that. He never lost that. He built on that. So now he had learned to get to God and walk with God and get alone with God and be lonely and see God work when he couldn't. But then beyond that, he gained some strength. So now here he is with all these life lessons in the past, but something happened to David. You know what happened to him? Time. It happens to all of us. It is a very cruel enemy. You wake up one morning, you go to put on your deodorant, and you're like, where did all those wrinkles come from? What is happening to my skin? You go to shave and it's like, wait a minute, I got to kind of like pull here to get that spot over there. Like, this has never been a problem. Do you understand? This is not me. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm going, what in the world is happening? And I'm still young. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Time is a cruel enemy. And before you know it, this man goes out to battle and he gets into a point where he's like, whoa, I don't know what happened to me, but I ain't got it anymore. I mean, so I'm exhausted right now. I'm tired right now. This sword never used to be this heavy. These guys never used to feel this strong. What's going on? And God had to send some young men around that older man to kind of undergird him and succor him and get him through that fight. He needed help. And he'd forgotten more than he'd ever learned. And he never quit. And he knew what it was like to be strong. And he knew what it was like to get alone. But the time came at the end of his life where the full circle of life had taken place. And now that old man needed some young men to help him. And God sent some help to that old man because he never forgot the first lesson. He never forgot the second lesson. And now when his personal strength was failing, the strength of God showed up. And he still was strong. And he still had a refuge. And now he says, I also have help. You know what I'm thankful for? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But you know what the devil doesn't want you to see? He doesn't want you to see what this whole thing is all about. Can I say for the born-again believer, this thing ain't about a virus. For the born-again believer, this thing ain't about the separation of church and state. That's an American thing. This is a worldwide phenomenon. I don't get these American people who get in their pulpits and get in their churches and begin to try to act like this whole thing is about the United States Constitution. God is bigger than all that, and something much bigger than all that is going on. Let's get with the real battle. Let's not be distracted by the subtle, sneaky attack of Lucifer. You know what this verse? Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble is found. It's found on a tomb in Wittenberg. You know whose tomb it is? It's the tomb of Martin Luther. That man knew something about doing battle with the devil. That was a day 200 years after the Dark Ages, after I believe the Black Plague had gone through. I think it was in the 1300s, if I'm not remembering, right? Yeah. I'm asking you. You've been educating me. Something like that. About 200 years later, Martin Luther, that whole Reformation thing kicks off. So the world was coming out of a very dark period of time. And Martin Luther then goes in there on October 31st. Some of you get it. And he nails his 95 theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg. And he sparks a Reformation. God used Martin Luther to do something worldwide. It wasn't all about his home nation. It was worldwide. Because God was doing something. And you know what that man had to learn? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do you know when Martin Luther started out, he did not start out a reformer? He wasn't trying to start a fight. He was genuinely seeking God in his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as he personally sought truth and began to study the scriptures, he began to realize the teachings of the church were going against the scriptures. And so as he was young in the faith and young in his strength and young in what God was developing him for down the road, and he began to study that thing and look at that thing, he began then to kind of like write some papers and make some suggestions. And he started out a little timid and a little gentle and saying, hey, why is it that our very rich religious leaders are building these basilicas and building all this stuff off the backs of poor people? He began to see the injustice of that as he sought truth and walked with God Almighty. His personal relationship with Jesus Christ sparked the Reformation. It was not a political war. It was a religious thing where he was in that book trying to get to know God. You know what his whole philosophy was? Sola Scriptura, which means Scripture only. Martin Luther stood for salvation by grace through faith, saying that your works won't save you, going against the church. And you know what he wound up having to do? He wound up having to run for his life because they tried to kill him. You know what that man learned? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And you know what's on his tombstone in Wittenberg, Germany? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's the one who wrote, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. That was not about political freedom. It was about, hey, church, you're leading souls to hell because you're not preaching them the truth. And that's where that fight began. It was all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wound up running and hiding. Keeping your finger here in Psalm 46, please go over with me to Luke chapter number 4. I want to show you how the devil is going to distract you and get you off track. He's smooth, man. I think this whole stay-at-home order and all the rest of that stuff, you know, asking you not to assemble, that never to me looked like an attack from the devil. Oh, the devil's attacking the gospel, brother. The devil's attacking our churches. Hogwash. Come on, man. Listen, if you said that, I didn't hear you say that, so it's not personal between me and you, okay? If that's your opinion, I respect your opinion. What I'm saying is from this pulpit, and if you hear these things preached, please do not jump on the bandwagon of getting yourself all worked up and getting your mind all out of whack because you heard a preacher say. They're saying all kinds of stuff, and I am telling you, you give it some time, and you are going to see, time's going to prove it. You're going to see who's who and what's what if you have a memory to remember that guy said such and such. He's a jackleg because he said that and it didn't happen. And God tells you in the Old Testament, don't you fear a prophet who prophesies something and it doesn't come to pass. You know he's a fraud. I'm going to show you how the devil works, and then I'm going to give you the message, and we'll go. It won't be long. It might be long. Depends on your definition of long. Not going to feel long to me, because I am in my zone right now. This feels great. Ain't it a blessing, man? Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Alone. Alone. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. You know where the devil showed up? When he was alone. You know what's been really good medicine for you and for me and for the whole body of Christ all over this world? It's been good for you to be locked up in your house, throwing your little fits. I want to go to church. It's been good for you. If you haven't allowed the devil to distract you and keep you from getting from this what God wanted you to get. The Spirit leads him out here into the wilderness, right? And who's out there? Who's out there? The devil. Is this God or the devil? I don't know any more than you do. Maybe one, maybe the other, maybe both. Haven't I taught you that when God works, the devil works? And where God shows up, the devil shows up? And the devil copycats everything God does? Don't be simple. Don't be simplistic. Don't look at everything from your knee-jerk reaction of your opinion or your viewpoint culturally. Look at that book and slow down and be still and know that He is God and He gave you a book. And start to evaluate the way He works in that book. He'll show you. God, the Spirit leads him out there, but the devil's out there. Oh, the devil came after me. Maybe God wanted him to. I'm going to show you in a second. I'm really going to mess you up if you're a red-blooded American like I am. He's 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. He didn't get the quarantine 15. He found the opportunity to fast and walk with God a little bit. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I don't think any Christian has any right to go out and protest if they didn't fast first. Like pray, like fast and pray. Like if you're so serious, you're ready to go load up an AK-47 and get down there to the Capitol. Then of course you bold, tough, hardcore Michigan militia. You can push away from the table for 24-48, you Spartan. See, this stuff aggravates the fire out of me. Guys think they're Spartans. I got no clue. Those Spartans were raised in a calorie deficit from childhood because they wanted to teach them to survive, so go get your own food. And if you get caught, we're going to beat you, and we're not going to beat you for stealing. We're going to beat you for not being good enough and getting caught. They were training them to be warriors. And some of these guys right now who are acting like warriors have no idea what it is to be a warrior. They don't have the self-discipline. They don't have the cave experience. They don't have the time alone with God. And they want to lead God's people into a battle. You better be careful. They're going to get you killed on the wrong hill. I don't mind dying, but I just don't want to die for something stupid. The Lord's fasting, and the devil says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. What's the first thing the devil attacked in his temptation? His belly, right? He knew he'd been fasting. He knew he was hungry. And he said, if you're God, there's his pride. If you're the Son of God, command this stone that be made bread. I know you're hungry. Hey, wait a minute. You know what the devil just did to the whole world? He attacked their flesh. There's a virus you can't see, and if you get it, you might die. You know what everybody did? Shelter in place! Where are the bombers? Where are the rockets? Where is the B-52s? Why are we sheltering in place? The devil knows if he can touch your flesh, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his skin. He knows how to attack you. He knows how to mess with you. Are you kidding me? He's smooth, boy. He's so sharp. He knows human nature. And when he's attacking, you don't even see where it's coming from. He knows how to distract you over here, making you think it's over here, while he's actually coming over there and he's cutting your throat. And you don't know it until that razor went through so smooth and so fast. And you're In Scotland, they call it the Glasgow smile. You know what that is? A couple of you do. You could see them walking around the streets down there in Glasgow. You can see them walking around. They got the Glasgow smile. What the guys would do is they'd take a razor, two razor blades, and they tie them so close together, but far enough apart, to where they can cut a piece of skin out that's just too much for them to stitch with, you know, smooth. It's going to leave a nice, nasty scar. But not so much they can get stitches in on both sides. And they'll walk by you, the gangsters and whatnot will walk by you, and they'll hit you in the side of the face like that near your mouth and cut it up on an angle towards your ear. And it'll peel a piece of skin off just like that. I think peels right out, and they stitch it, but it leaves a big old groove the side of your face. And by the time he's done with that cut, it's so sharp and so quick and so smooth, you're going, you don't even see it come. That's how the devil is, man. He'll walk by you, hey, and you're going, and he'll, while your head's turned, you got that vein open, the other hand will go, whoa! And you're bleeding out over here, and you never saw it coming. But everybody thinks they got him figured out. Everybody thinks it's all about the liberals trying to get in office. Everybody thought it was all about Barack Obama. Some idiot jackleg preachers were saying he's the Antichrist, and they're putting up their stuff about, the Antichrist is a Syrian Jew. How is it any Bible-believing Christian would fall for lies like that that are obviously unbiblical? Because they're agenda-driven, they're preaching politics, they're not giving you Bible, and Lucifer's going whack to the throat of a whole church that's all off track and not worried about what really matters. If you be the Son of God, take care of your body, take care of your body. You know what the whole thing about Americans panicking about their liberty is? It's him attacking your flesh. You don't want to live in the misery. You want your rights. You want, and I'm with you, man. I want mine. Are you kidding me? But we ain't about that right now. We're about this book. He said, command that stone that it be made bread. God is going after his body. Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I got the book. I'm happy. So he tries again. The devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him politics. I'm telling you, what he showed him. What did he show him? All the kingdoms unto him, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, hey, Jesus, show you something. Just a moment, he just spun him around, whole planet. Just showed him all of it. He said, guess what? All this power will I give thee in the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and whosoever I will, I give it. Did you hear what that just said? Power to the people! You're nuts. You know what, before I got off Facebook, years ago, when Barack Obama got voted in, I had some born-again Christian woman blowing me up on Facebook because she's listening to my messages online. Of course, she would never say it to my face because I've seen her since. Hi, brother. Hi, brother. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Blowing me up on Facebook because it's people like me who wouldn't preach politics and wouldn't push you to go vote. That's why he got voted in, and now it's our fault that the liberals are in power. You know what the devil said? Jesus, you want it? Bow and worship me. I'll give it all to you, because to whomsoever I will, I give it. And Jesus said, you don't have any power, but that my Father give it unto you. Well, who puts him in place, God or the devil? Who's in control? God or the devil? Yeah, God. And you know what God said from the control standpoint? All right, for a little while, I'm going to let the devil run it. God lets him do what he has to check it with God. Did you not read the book of Job? He checks it with God. God says, sure, go ahead. The devil says, I will. Wait a second. Now, hold on 1 minute. Wait, stay with me, because now if I haven't already ticked you off, I'm going to try. I really don't want you to get mad at me our first service back, but I have not preached in a long time, and I don't know how to balance the two. I'm trying to be a sweet, loving pastor and still... Truth is truth, and I know you love the truth. I'm playing around with you. Watch this. What if your favorite politician, who has all your viewpoints as close as you can get, was put in power by Lucifer himself.
You mean the one that's for gun rights?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the one that's for tax breaks?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the one that's for capitalism?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the one that's against abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Against legalizing marijuana?
Mm-hmm. What if? Just a suggestion. Just bouncing off some Bible.
Imagine that.
What if Lucifer puts them in place because he knows you Laodicean Christians will chill out, relax, enjoy your freedoms, stop praying. You'll do all the preaching in the world and you'll run your websites and your blogs and you'll go street preaching and all the rest of that stuff, but you'll be so rich and so comfortable and so unworried, you won't take the time to talk to God. So he says, you know what, let's make the liberals mad because they'll make more ruckus, they'll recruit more people, they'll fight even more, and let's put that politician in there that will side with all those Christians and make those Christians feel like they got it great to keep the most powerful and richest nation in the world calm down in their Christianity. Because as long as they got their money, as long as they got their health, as long as they got their liberty, they'll calm down and they won't worry about it. They'll just gather in their little churches and they'll give their money and they'll build bigger churches, and here and there they'll reach one or two, but they won't pray. They won't fast. They won't seek God. Let's give them prosperity. All the way through your Bible, when wicked rulers persecuted the church spread. And you think Satan doesn't know that? You know what scares me is how sharp he is, man. How genius he is. How wise he is according to the Bible and not with a godly wisdom. Manipulator, snake, subtle. And what if I get in the pulpit preaching the Constitution and preaching politics and preaching things that are right, like anti-abortion and all that stuff, but I'm playing right into his hands? Would you sit back and say, God, in the next election, this November, when we think this whole thing is media-driven to run the guy we want out of office and bring in a liberal into office. But Lord, if the liberal getting into office is going to get the church more serious and we're going to get closer to you and we're going to reach more people and we're going to walk with you more, even if we have to suffer a little bit, God, put the liberal in, whatever you want. How come nobody seems to think of that? Instead, it's all about quoting, you know, history and quoting the church, the United States Constitution and the state constitutions. What if you're playing right into the hands of the devil? I'm not saying that I'm not a red-blooded American. I'm talking about something bigger than the United States of America. I'm talking about God Almighty. I'm talking about his work in the world. I'm talking about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And I'm trying to tell you, you and I aren't in as much control as we think we are. We need a refuge. We need strength. We need help. And you ain't going to get that from politics.
So the devil shows him the kingdoms of this world and he says, worship me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And now Satan makes his most powerful play. He brings him to Jerusalem in verse 9 and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil, when the devil had ended the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So the last thing the devil does is he makes his final and most powerful push, and he steps into religion. He takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. Lucifer showed up at church and he said, I'm going to quote you some Bible. Might I say that again, please? Lucifer showed up at church and said, I'm going to show you some Bible. And he starts quoting the Lord's Bible, not rightly divided, not properly applied, not practically applied. He pulls it out of context and he tries to make it fit to provoke Jesus' pride. He dealt with them on his flesh, a virus. He dealt with them on politics. Have you not watched the news? That's all that's been on the news for weeks, is politics
and health. Politics and health. Money, politics, and health. That's all that's... You don't think the devil's working right now, folks, around the world? No Christian ought to be falling for this stuff. Your eyes ought to be wide open through the light of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You ought to be going, I see what's going on. I know what's going on. I got it. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. And I don't care. Why? Because God's my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So he makes the final play at him. And what was the whole point of the whole thing? Jesus, worship me. Right? You know what the devil doesn't want? He doesn't want you to worship God. Did you hear me? He doesn't want you to worship God. So he'll get you so busy with the news media, so busy with the what ifs, so busy with the economy, so busy with the politics, so busy with the fear, so busy with the panic. What if we run out of meat in the grocery store? So you have 50 pounds of chicken leg quarters in your deep freeze in the garage. Wait, I'm getting too personal here. Just might. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Because everybody's panicking so much, we're going to run out of food. Before that, we ran out of... toilet paper? Are you kidding me? If that doesn't tell you we're nuts, nothing will. Why toilet paper? Because somebody reacted and responded out of fear and love for themselves and paranoia about the comforts of their life, and everybody else responded like sheep led to the slaughter. Toilet paper, brother. I mean, worst case scenario, jump in the shower. We're not going to die. It's insane. I guess having been to Haiti and see how human beings are forced to live like dogs, it's helped me get a perspective that it's not all about us. God's doing something, and so is the devil. So when he shows up to tempt you, he's going to hit you in these areas. And I'm telling you right now, folks, the point is, he doesn't want you to worship God. He wants you to be so worried and so tuned into everything else that you don't have time to pray, that you don't have time to read your Bible. He wants you so tuned into the news all the time, so busy, so listening to all the wrong voices. I wonder what so-and-so says. I wonder what so-and-so says. Oh, did you hear what this guy said? Oh, that's the trumpet. Donald Trump, the last Trump. Oh, no. Oh! Yeah, I got another one from you. Barack Obama's the Antichrist and he's resurfacing now. Why are you so weak? I'm not trying to be mean or put you down. Why are you so weak? Our rights as Americans, brother. If, hey, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. I know you think you're one of the founding fathers or the Minutemen or whatever you think you are, but hey, wake up a second. Come out of your little childhood playish dream world and let's be real in the day and age we live in. The devil's distracted you from the real issue, and the greatest thing you and I could do is walk with Jesus Christ right now. Hey, why? Because safety is from God. That's that refuge we already talked about. Safety is not in a vaccine. You understand me? You will not find your safety in a vaccine. They're going to come up with the fastest warp speed vaccine that's going to make you grow an arm out your forehead. You're going to take that vaccine and you're going to be like, oh my word, I am growing a tail. What in the world happened? New stuff will be popping up in the next 10 and 15 years. Mysterious health illnesses in our children. So you're trying to scare us from getting the vaccine? No. Are you going to take it? That's between me and me. I might not. I don't know what I'm going to do. I hate being told you have to take anything. Are they going to make us? If they do, they do. What if they start chipping us in our bodies? Listen, there are preachers preaching this stuff. It's the mark of the beast. Okay, brother. No, it ain't. The book tells you what the mark is. It's a number.
Social Security number.
Is your Social Security number 666? You can't read? Or you just don't believe what you read? Oh, now all of a sudden you went from being a Bible believer to being one of these, well, that actually means, and the interpretation is, and that's just an allegory. What happened to you, brother? Where's your mind go? Yes, it's crazy times. Yes, there's unknowns. Yes, it's scary. But so what? Why? Because God's still on the throne. He saw this coming before it ever happened. And I was walking with him back then. So guess what? He never left me through the whole thing. And guess what else? When it blows over, he'll still be there. Why? Because he's my refuge. I'm not counting on a virus. I'm not counting on President Trump getting back in November. You think he will? He just might, because everybody sees him as the money guy, and Americans, I don't care what their principles are, they will vote their pocketbooks, brother. And they see him as the money guy. And some of you are, oh, what if President Trump doesn't get back in? God already knows whether or not he is or isn't going to get back in, and ain't going to take him by surprise. How do I know? I'll tell you how I know. Because I talked to God today. And God said, Mike, I know. I said, you know already know? He said, yeah, I know. What are we going to do? He said, I got it. I said, all right, cool. That ain't deep theology, preacher. I don't care. It's real. It's as real as a nose on my face. Hey, God wasn't taken by surprise. He was my refuge before this. He's my refuge now. I don't know what's coming in the future, but I got a refuge. And I run to him before. Now, if you ain't run to him yet, now's the time. But can I give you a little inside scoop? It's real nice. It's real nice having some perspective from history in my life. I say, no, I run to him before. This ain't my first time. I'm not trying to brag like I'm Joe Spiritual. I'm not. I don't think I've ever pretended to be Mr. Joe Spiritual Pastor, have I? Okay. But I am telling you the truth. I've run to that refuge before in my life. This ain't the first time I got there. That's why I've been so calm in this whole thing. Because I know I've been still before. I'm still now. I know he's God. And I'm not. And I'm all right with him being God. What if you go to preacher? Well, a prison preacher. Well, you're being dramatic again. But if I do, and you come visit me, and you're all like, I'm going to say, chill out. What are you all worked up about? Are you going to get beat up in there? Heck no! I'm going to beat somebody up! Yeah. Amen! Man, I've had three problems on the trail. I'm problems! I haven't been to the gym in like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something. And I got a special invite to meet with some guys somewhere that are like high-level boxers. I ain't boxed in 20-something years. You understand that? I'm like, yeah. I'll be there. What time? What place? They told me the time and the place. I said, I'll see you fellas there. I was honored. I was the only old man in my 40s. Say, hey, man, we got to train, man. You want to come spar with us? Say, yeah. And I hung up the phone. The Holy Ghost said, what you doing? You're telling your kids to obey the authorities. You're telling your church you're going to obey the authorities. I said, well, they ain't going to know. I'll tell them I'm going grocery shopping. He said, that's a lie. We didn't have that conversation. I'm messing with you. But we did have that first part of that conversation. I had to call him back and say, I can't, man. Why? I just have to explain it to you later, but I can't. That's killing me. And then some idiot in his yoga pants on the bike path sees an older couple right in front of him, and he thinks it's all about him. And I step behind my wife on our side, and he decides he's going to come around, and he's going to come straight at her to force her off the bike path so he can get his little workout in his yoga pants. So what did you do? My oldest daughter with us, she turned around because she figured daddy was going to do something. And I was on the phone with one of my parishioners, so I couldn't say nothing. But I literally just felt this like, inside of me, like 8 weeks of pent up, like, yeah. Say, we going to hit him, preacher? No, the Bible says preachers are not allowed to be strikers. Wasn't going to kick him, wasn't going to punch him, I was going to rip his head off. Literally, I'm waiting like this, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, and she goes, is he really? And she gets out of his way, and I just like jumped in his face like that. He swerves over, like almost slips over. What would have happened if I'd have gone to jail? I don't know what to tell you. She'd have bailed me out. The ink wouldn't have been dried. I'd have been like, that's not my way back out the door. It's illegal. It's illegal to mess with my wife and my world. Amen. Now I'm rebellious. Sick of this stuff. I'm losing it. Amen. In a good way. I know where safety comes from. Safety comes from God. It ain't about politics. It ain't about the military. It ain't about education. It ain't about your liberty. And I'm not looking to the news media for my hope. You understand that? Do you understand me? I'm not looking, oh, there's good news today. You lying rascal. The only time they tell you there's good news is when they're like, people aren't appreciating all the negativity. We got to give them a good news. So then everything ticks up and then they give you more bad news. You watch the way they word articles. You watch the way it's worded. That headline, that title of that article is worded in a way to bait you in and then switch it. They're messing with your head. It's agenda driven. It's demonic. My hope ain't in the news media. My hope's in the Lord. The place of safety is the Lord. The Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle. I'm not saying be stupid. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. That's why I ask you to just try to go with the CDC guidelines. Why? Because we're not being stupid. If we have to have two services on Sunday morning, I get to preach twice. I'll preach different messages so you can listen to that one and they can listen to the other one. Amen. I'm not going to have you accuse me of he rehearsed all that. I rehearse the verses and the outline, but I don't rehearse the antics. They just come as God leads and lets them, and they don't when he don't. I'll have two services. I'm good with that. Why? Because we're prepared. You want to know why there's not a bunch of pressure on you right now if you lost your job to give when you got to feed your kids? I might be one of the only pastors in the country that sent out that message. I just might be. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm the only one, but I guarantee you I'm with a very elite and small group of guys who says, hey, listen, if you lost your job, don't panic about the church right now. God will take care of us. You might want to feed your family rather than tithe. God's not going to kill you. God will take care of us. He always has. This place was started from a place of refuge. We had nothing. We weren't strong. We couldn't have survived something like this financially. But we started in 2008 in the middle of the worst recession since the Great Depression. And look what God's done. Horses prepared. I'm thankful we were prepared. I'm thankful you've been faithful to give like you've given. And you put us in a position where I wasn't losing my mind. I don't know how I would have reacted if I had been. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have gone online like the whack jobs and sold you coronavirus cures. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have done that one. That's a whole new low. I'd feel more honest selling you heroin, and that's as wicked as hell. That's the devil. The only thing worse than that is a guy in the name of God trying to get you to buy something that's supposedly, it's a foolishness. Don't fall for that stuff. I don't know what I'd have done. It wouldn't have been that. I was able to send that message out. Why? Because you've been so good. God's been so good. You follow the Holy Spirit and you're giving. I never pressured you to tithe. I said, give as the Holy Spirit leads you to give. And guess what? He prepared us for this day. What's your plans, preacher? That addition, I called the builder the other last week. You mean after all this, we're going to spend $60,000 this year? Yep, I said, as soon as they open those doors, we want to be in there. We want to get that thing going. As soon as they're back, let's get the ball rolling. Why? Because God takes care of us. We're not going to sit back and get cheap now for my job security. We're going to move forward for the glory of God. He saw it coming, and the thing was in the plans, and he was leading. I mean, brother, he kept us safe. We tried to get a $3 million building, and he said no. He's a refuge. Why? Because he saw it coming. I was disappointed. Yeah, of course I was disappointed. Did I go into a fit of depression and get mad at God? Nope. Because I said, God, you're God, and you know. The bills alone would have been about $6,000 a month, just the utilities and the insurance and the rest of that stuff. I did my homework. $6,000 a month. Ain't you glad God says no? Ain't he awesome? Oh yeah, I did. I'm a businessman. A $3 million building for $1 million. And if we pay it off in this length of time, we'll have this much. And by the 20-year mark of the pastorate and the ministry, we could be actually so. Because if we grow at this number and the numbers that come in and have come in, then you multiply that out by how many people have joined and where we could be at financially. This is a make it or break it. I mean, we could put $500,000 a year on the mission field in 20 or 30 years from now. We could do that every year. I had it laid out, folks. I didn't present it to you before I knew what the numbers were. So I think we can do this. And God said, bam! Shut that door. I said, all right, you know something I don't know. You know what the Lord knew? COVID-19. I could have never guessed it. I'd have thought Russia or China or liberals or something long before I thought COVID-19 would bring a world superpower to its knees. We can build human robots. A virus? Hey, God is my refuge and strength. He knows stuff I don't know. He's heard of stuff I never heard of. What's next, preacher? I don't know. They've been telling you for a long time it's a pulse bomb that's going to wipe out the grid or whatever that thing is. You conspiracy guys know what I'm talking about. You didn't see this one, did you? Why? Because you've got an enemy that's so good. He's so subtle. He knows how to get you. And the whole point is he don't want you worshiping God. It ain't none of the rest of this stuff. This ain't nowhere near as bad as the Black Plague. Or on and on and on we could go. It ain't none of this stuff. Well, this is just so stupid. This is just ridiculous. Everybody's acting stupid. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. It ain't the point. The point is, you see how weak we are? I'm glad I got a refuge. My safety is from God. I pray every day for safety. One day, I got up. I got going. I did read my Bible, but I got kind of busy. And as I was out there in the garage, I got distracted. I was out there in the garage, and I'm working on my mower, getting the thing ready. And I hear a little rattle, blah, 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 in the other room, right? In the house. I don't think nothing of it. My dogs are amazing. Amazing dogs. I can call them down. I mean, I go, ah, like that. That's my, they stop dead, and they come back. Amazing dogs. I'm in there working and I hear ruckus. And I figure there's one thing they get at each other about, it's the bone. I'm working on my mower and I hear it and kept going. I'm like, I should probably go check on that. They don't usually keep going like that. They sleep together like little babies. I mean, they're amazing. They're better than our kids. No, I'm just kidding. They're not. I'm just kidding. They're amazing dogs. So we go in. I hear Ayla and I hear Grace screaming. And I come running in. She's yelling at Ava to get out of there because they got serious over the bone. The little one's 3 now, and she's trying to, you know, we don't know what really happened. We turn around, that little dog's eyes come out like a cartoon character. He must have caught her with his tooth or something, and I'm telling you, all the girls saw it. A very dramatic day for us. And I always said, I'll never spend money on a dog like that. That's stupid. She said, oh, we said we never spent money on a dog. And I said, get the dog in the car. We're going to the vet. You don't know what it's going to cost. I don't care. I got to get that thing fixed. I can't look at that. You know what the first thought I had is? Today, I didn't ask God to keep me, my family, my animals safe. I blame myself for it. Nah, I'm not saying God did that because please don't take it that way. And if you're, you know, have a soft place for animals, I found out how soft a place I really got. I did not care. Also, fix that eye. They said, well, we don't know if the dog will be able to see. I said, is there a chance? They said 20%. I said, all right. They said, if she doesn't see, we may have to take it out and it's going to cost this much again. I said, go fix the eye. What if it costs more? You think I was going to be the bad guy? In the middle of all this, my daddy just ripped the dog's eye out. He didn't even try. That ain't going down in the history books that way, man. You know what I know? I know where my safety's at. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know the Lord knows. He's my safety. He's my strength. I'll be done in a minute. Look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waves thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. You know what that just said? You might have some really crazy things happen around you. Isn't that what that said? If the sun were to fall, I'm not going to try to sing, I'll spare you. If the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, what would you do? I wouldn't bat an eye. You know what I'd do? I'd turn around and I'd say, chill out, guys, it's all right. What are you screaming about? It's just a mountain. What are you flipping out about? It's just a ball of whatever it is burning out there. What are you flipping out about? It's just water. You know why? Because God's with me. Let me tell you something about Mike Reagan. If God ain't with me, I cannot see it the same way. I freak out. Just like you. Everybody's freak out looks a little different. Some's fight, some's flight, but it's still freaking out. It's the same hormone. It's the same emotion. Just dealt differently. Handled differently. Exhibited differently. You know why? God's my strength. What have I preached to you for years? What's the most important thing? I guess I got to repeat myself. I'm going to keep repeating myself. It's your personal walk with Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important. Because you don't know if your job is going to be here. You don't know if your health is going to be here. You don't know if your nation is going to be here. But you know what you know? Your God will be there. He's your strength. And you know what else he is? A very present help in trouble. You know, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't know what the future holds. Divorce. We don't know what these little kids are going to grow up and do. They might break our hearts. But you know who will be there for you? No matter who betrays you. No matter what happens in the world around you. No matter how lonely you are. You know who will never leave you or forsake you? Jesus Christ. Funniest thing is, folks, is that you and I pretty quickly and readily walk away from him. We make our personal and devotional life and our prayer life, our Bible reading, we make it I should do that. Rather than a stream and a river, in verses 4 through 11, I'm not going to take the time because it's time to go home, but there's a river. Streams thereof make glad the city of God. That thing goes down through there and it tells you about a heavenly Jerusalem. This thing is telling us about a kingdom that's coming. It's when Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And he restores the whole mess. You know what they did in Hebrews 11? They looked for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker is God. They weren't living for this present world. They were put in hollow logs as Christians, and they would take a saw and they'd start cutting through that hollow log all the way down till they hit that human flesh and just keep ripping that flesh open, and they cut straight through that person's body while they were alive. While they were alive. No anesthesia. We're going to cut straight through them. They cut the law in half with a Christian's body in the middle of that hollow log. Your forefathers, you want some history? I'll give you history. The only thing men learn from history is men never learn from history. Let's learn something from history. You know what your forefathers did? They were fed to lions for the name of Jesus Christ. They were burned at the stake alive for the name of Jesus Christ because they were a Christian. That's your heritage, not a constitution. As much as I love my country, you've heard what I've said. Not a constitution. That's your heritage. You belong to a new city. You belong to a new nation. You know what that is? It's God's. Whatever happens in this world happens. You know who's going to rule and reign 1,000 years? Jesus Christ. You know who's going to be the perfect king? I'll vote for him. King Jesus. You know what you and I ought to need this morning? We don't need an earthly perspective. We need a heavenly perspective. We need to get eternity in view. We need to think about our walk with Jesus Christ and how effective we are in our personal relationship with Him. He'll make you a soul winner. He'll give you victory. He'll help you with your struggles. He'll get you through. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll help your family. But you got to be putting Him first. You got to be walking with Him. You got to be still and know He is God and you're not. And if you and I will put Jesus Christ first, we will be safe from the attack of the devil. We'll be safe from all that's going on in the world around us. And we'll be stable. The God of Jacob is our help, a very present help in trouble. Often to old age, when your strength tails off, you know what you'll find? Stability. Where does stability come from? I'm done. This is my closing statement. Where does stability come from? Big bank account? What if your money winds up worth nothing because of a depression? Good job? What if you lose your job because of a virus? Politics? What if your guy doesn't get voted in November? Where does stability come from, church? I stand upon a rock. He's the rock of all the ages. He was there in the Dark Ages. He was there with Martin Luther. He was there in Hebrews 11. He was there with Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ. And He'll be there in eternity future. So let come what may, I want to stay focused on my relationship with Jesus Christ. Be still and know that He is God. Let's pray.